Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. It's the
Sandman. You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips.
Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his loss.
Here's the Sandman. Over
Sandman. This past week was a tribute to the federal government. We had Veterans Day yesterday, Election Day on Tuesday, which is still going on. And if you work for the federal government or you're in service of this great nation, then you have access to a great retirement savings plan known as the Thrift Savings Plan, or TSP. But there are several common mistakes we see people make all the time when it comes to their TSP, and these could be costing you in a very big way. So keep it right here this morning as I go over five TSP mistakes and how to fix them. Good morning. Yesterday was Veterans Day, our day to pay tribute to all veterans living or deceased, unlike Memorial Day, which honors those veterans who died in service or as a result of injuries incurred during battle. If you saw Hacksaw Ridge, Saving Private Ryan, or Iwo Jima, you have some idea of what wartime is like, of what soldiers go through or are prepared to go through for you, for our freedom. Veterans are all around us. In fact, there are over 23 million veterans right now. 9.2 million of them are over age 65, while 1.9 million are under age 35. 1.8 million are women. What a lot of folks don't know is that Veterans Day was originally called Armistice Day, November 11th, 1918. 104 years ago. It was President Eisenhower who officially changed the name to Veterans Day in 1954. So from all of us here, we wish to say to all the veterans out there, thank you for your service. Good morning. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. And for those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week right here on KNBR. And that's because I am a financial advisor and an attorney. We're broadcasting live right now out of our studio. And if you have a question, like now that the election is it really over? How much more in taxes will you be paying very soon? Or how much higher could this market go? Or go down. You can always ask me a question 24 hours a day at our email, which is questions@pyaradio.com. Again, questions@pyaradio.com. So if you work for the federal government or serve in the armed forces, then you have a great savings plan known as TSP, or the Thrift Savings Plan. But if you're not using it in the right ways, it can be really expensive for you. Like a good education, it only helps if you use it. And so I've uncovered several common mistakes I see people make all the time with their TSP, costly mistakes that you could be making right now. So if you or your loved ones have a TSP or in service for the federal government, then make sure you listen to this entire show as we expose the risks of the G Fund and a few others and how to fix them. Keep it tuned right here. Now, let's get started. Yes, this was a very busy week from many, many different fronts. So the election, as you know, is still winding on. And yes, that will have some impact on the market overall. We're still waiting to hear about Nevada. And of course, there'll be the runoff in Georgia, not too far off. Renewed hopes for peak Fed hawkishness on the back of cooler than expected domestic inflation data unleashed a historic rally in equities on Thursday. The S&P 500 rose 5.54% in a day. All the major indexes gapped higher at the open in the wake of a much cooler than feared October consumer price index report, which measures inflation. The monthly headline rose 0.4% versus the estimate of 0.7%. So we're talking less than 0.3%, but the annual core figure fell to 6.3%. Again, the estimate was around 6.6. So traders began pricing in the Fed essentially peaking and reversing their course at some point. Not to say they're not going to keep raising rates, but not as severe as the market was thinking. The NASDAQ loved this and for the day went up almost 6% in the early trading hours to finish up over 7% for the day. And as we know, yesterday was up in there almost 2%. So big week for tech stocks. And I'll have a little bit more about that in a second. Multiple Fed officials, including Harker and Logan, made comments that were dovish. And this suggested that the Fed is increasingly likely to slow the pace of the rate hikes next month. The Wall Street Journal's Timoros, who's a writer that people think is a mouthpiece for the Fed, said that the dovish comments hinted at a 50 basis point hike coming here in December. So odds of a 75 basis point rate hike in the market right now, well, they fell to 0%. Markets saw the terminal Fed rate expectation fall below 5% once again. And there were also sizable declines across the treasuries, including a more than 30 basis point drop in one day in the 10-year yield to a new one-month low, well below the 4% level. So I just want to say it's a very long way to go from here, but for the primary trend in the 10-year to decisively shift from bullish to neutral or bearish, we're going to need to see the yield drop below the August low of 2.6% on a lower time frame. Now, right now, the 10-year is around a 382, up year-to-date about 2.3%. For the broader markets, we got the Dow still down about 7.1%. You got the S&P off over 16%. NASDAQ still down 27.6%. And the international index, the EFI, off almost 20%. So we're still in a bear market territory, I would say. And the October close low on the 10-year treasury was a 362. So we should view that as the support for the treasury, and we'll need to see it get below that before I'm going to get too excited about anything out there. So not too far off, but again, these are historic rallies in all of the major U.S. stock indexes we saw this past week. And this was led by the tech sector, the NASDAQ, which on Thursday was up 7.35% in the day, and then yesterday finished off almost 2%. So you've seen almost a 10% swing there in really a couple days. And the S&P now is notably trading more than 10% off the year-to-date low. And in the near term, the upward momentum across the stock complex can continue to rise on optimism that the Fed is done. But to be clear, I think we're far from being able to confidently say that this broader stock market, this bear market that we've been experiencing this year, is over. Looking at the charts, again, this is technical charts, this rally resembles the other bear market rallies we saw this year. And there's no reason to believe this is any different. Real bear market bottoms are formed on the back of investor capitulation and panic. And we just have not seen that in 2022. Additionally, there are almost always multiple tests of a newly formed bottom as it's built out as a formidable support level. So the October low could be classified as a V-shaped bottom, again, resembling those rallies we've seen in March and in June. But this rally could extend up to 41 to 4,200. I heard lots of people this week talking about 48 and 4,900. I just don't see that happening. So without a series of higher lows and higher highs being realized over a more significant time frame, say multiple quarters, not just weeks or days, then we'll remain skeptical of the rally from a purely technical perspective. And I'd urge you to keep an eye out for a retest of the lows that I've been calling. I'll get to that in a second. The big news this week, obviously, economically, was the CPI. Again, I've given you those numbers. It was a good number, plain and simple. The pace of inflation eased substantially, evidenced by the fact that year-over-year inflation rose less than 8% for the first time in several months. And of greater importance was the composition of the data, specifically the shelter costs. They declined by, again, very small measure, 0.1%. And that's the first time we've seen that since May of 20. And this matters because housing prices operate on a big lag when it comes to the CPI. Housing prices are still reflecting the appreciation we saw in earlier in 2022, not the peak and easing that we've seen over the past several months. And that matters because in the coming months, shelter costs will start to weigh on CPI. And that means that some real downward momentum in 23 is very likely. And that should cause the Fed to pause and possibly pivot and go the other direction. So it's just one report, and CPI at 7.7 year over year is still a long way from the Fed's 2% target. But it's encouraging because it's showing a real easing in inflation pressure. And yesterday we had the University of Michigan Consumer Confidence. The most consumers we talked to are just feeling down. It was 54.7 in November. It was 59.9 in October. So almost a 5-point drop there. And then inflation, their numbers came out. They're looking at 5.1% on the 1 year and 3% on the 5 year. Other sources I'm seeing right now are calling for 4%. Inflation next year, just based on what's happening. But we'll just have to see what happens. And again, the market likes this sort of action. And as we saw in the Treasury market, the 10-year Treasury versus the 2-year spread, remember that signifies a bear market. It barely moved this past week and stayed deeply negative at negative 51 basis points as the bond market didn't really register the softer than expected CPI as changing the economic outlook for the better. If it had, we'd have seen the 10-2s rise sharply, but that just didn't happen. And that's because the labor market still remains tight. The Fed needs labor to deteriorate, to pivot. And so bottom line, the CPI was a step in the right direction, but the violent moves in the stock market again imply that the market expects an imminent Fed pivot. And we want to push back on that notion because none of the Fed's goals, inflation near 2%, balanced labor market, reduced balance sheet, are even close to being realized. So while stocks can rally on the momentum, we're likely not to see anything substantial. And I just see that's what's happening. So what should you be doing? Well, right now, obviously, we were talking about growth and value, having some exposure to growth. Growth got punished this year pretty badly. Value held up very well, as it does in this sort of a market. You saw growth do super well this week. So again, that's why you have to have exposure to these areas. And I know having a 60-40 portfolio this year has been depressing. It's the first time in a very, very long time that we had the 60-40 portfolio down year to date as of the end of the third quarter, almost 21%. We haven't seen that since 2008. And so, you know, it seems like you couldn't hide out in bonds because they were getting punished just as bad as stocks. And so as we see the yields start to come down, that will change. And so, you know, be careful if you're thinking about making any radical changes to your portfolio overall. So where are the targets now on the S&P? Great question. So since we got through 3992 on Friday, the next resistance level on the upside is 4084. And now the support levels before we would break down again would be 3720. So we've got quite a ways to go on the S&P. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Do you know or work for someone? Do you work for the federal government? If you do, when I come back, find out how to get 2% more just by filling out the right paperwork. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. If you work for the federal government or you are in service of this great nation, then you have access to a great retirement savings plan. In honor of Veterans Day yesterday, the Thrift Savings Plan, otherwise known as a TSP, could be a great investment, but like a good education, it only helps if you apply it. So I've identified several costly common mistakes that people make when it comes to their TSP. But before I get there, I did get a question here. Let's see who this is. Amanda in Fremont asked me this question. What happens to credit card debt when a person dies? If there is no other person on the account, does the debt die with him or her? So this is a great question, Amanda. First and foremost, the credit card debt is interesting because it does have other implications if you're married. So if you're married in California and let's say your husband's name was on the card and he went out and ran up a bunch of bills and then he passed away and now you're left holding the bag per se, well, guess what? You are responsible for that. And that's just the way it is because you were married. Let's say that you're not married and you're just living together, you're friends. And again, he went out and made a bunch of charges and now he's not here. And you want to know if you need to pay that. Well, maybe, maybe not. If he had assets in his name, so let's say you owned the house together, even though you're not married, it was his house, your house. There's an argument there that the creditors could make that they can go after the assets in his estate and try and collect against those. And if, let's say, you're the executor on the will or a trustee on a trust, as you wind up the estate, you're going to have to deal with the debts of the estate. But, you know, if you've got a person out there who has no assets, they have credit card debt, and they're not married in California, then you probably don't have much to worry about. Hope that helped, Amanda. But thank you for the question. If you have a question, 808-5627 is the number. Now let's get back to TSP plans, also known as thrift savings plans. So one of the most common mistakes that I'm seeing people make right now is not putting away 5% of their income into the TSP. Let me explain why that's important. As of October 1st, 2020, they adjusted the automatic enrollment from 3% to 5% to maximize the matching contributions that were being paid from the agency that you work for or serve for. And so you may be at 5% if you started at your job after October 1st of 2020. But if you were enrolled before that, so let's say you started working for the federal government or you were in service before October 1st of 2020, then your automatic enrollment was 3%. And this was 3% of your basic pay. And therefore, you are not receiving that extra 2% that you are entitled to right now. And that is free money. So you are actually not getting paid 2% of your salary that you otherwise could be collecting and letting it grow and compound over time, particularly when markets are low like they are now. Makes a good opportunity to get some of that money invested in that plan while you still have time here in 2022. So if you are unsure about whether you're taking advantage of this extra benefit, then check out with your benefits coordinator on Monday to make sure that you're getting your full 5% plus matching, which is now out there. Next big mistake that we're seeing is you assume your life cycle fund is the right choice for you, given the fact you're going to retire here in a very short time. And life cycle funds take a retirement target date approach when they invest your money. What that means is if you're younger, you typically could handle more volatility, more risk, and therefore you pick a life cycle fund that, say, is out there in 2050. But let's say you're older and you're closer to retirement, and so a TSP life cycle fund, you think, automatically shifts to a more conservative asset allocation, and you use your retirement account, say the 2020 fund, to get you there as you approach the retirement date. But let me ask you a question about autopilot, because that's essentially what you're doing. When you get on an airplane, why do you still need a pilot? After all, they have autopilot. Now why not just flip a button and let the computer take over? Well, that's right. The pilot makes the airplane take off. And once they take off and they're stable, they turn on the autopilot. And of course, as they come in for a landing, they turn that off and they bring it safely to a landing. So if you think about your money, life cycle funds make the same assumption that all federal employees who plan to retire in the same year have the same risk tolerance. Well, of course, that's just not true. Moreover, as of right now, year to date, some short life cycle funds, if you go look at the September 30th, 2022 report, shows that some were off almost 20%. You heard me right. You were down 20% in a life cycle fund as of the end of the third quarter. And as if you heard the top of the hour when I was talking about the market and what I expect to happen, I don't expect it's over. I think this volatility is here to stay, and I think we could experience some more of the downward pressure, and particularly given the fact that this year has been so tough on bonds and stocks, there's really been nowhere to hide. So if you're at or near retirement, you can't afford to lose 20% right now. And so with the big rally we just saw this past week on Thursday in particular, now could be the perfect time for you to get out of that life cycle fund and shift to something that could be more aligned with your sleep number. What I'm talking about is we have a proprietary process where we measure essentially your sleep factor, and we help you design a portfolio that matches your particular number. So the moral of this story is, if you're using life cycle funds right now to save for your retirement, then I suggest you seek professional help to make sure you'll land that plane safely. Otherwise, you're taking some pretty big chances right now and investing dangerously, which is just not safe. And I know retirement is full of complicated choices. How should you invest your savings between all those investment options you have out there? When should you claim your pension, and what option should you choose? Or how about keeping your taxes as low as possible in retirement so you have more of your own money to enjoy as you live your life? Does your current retirement plan solve all of these problems? Well, if not, then you certainly could be exposed, and that's why right now I am going to help you find the holes in your plan by using our on-track retirement review process. This is a complimentary proprietary process that we use to help you uncover the things that you just don't see, but we do each and every day. My team will run my retirement what-if analysis for you right now, but you have to pick up the phone and give us a call. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, that number is 866-776-8328. You can request your personal on-track retirement review with me and my team. Just go ahead and pick up the phone and speak to a member of my team on a Saturday working right now. Say hi to Phil for me. 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, don't miss our popular They Say segment, where they say the G Fund is safe. Is it really? And what's the biggest risk you face right now if you have all your money invested in it? Find out. I am the Sandman. We'll be right back.
I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com, where you can download and listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And if you work for the federal government or served in the armed forces, then you have a great savings plan known as a TSP. But if you're not using it in the right ways, it can really be very costly to you. And that's why today I'm going over the top mistakes I see people make with their TSP and how to fix them. If you missed the market segment at the top of the show, there was certainly a lot that happened this week. and you want to stay informed about that sort of thing. So go check out our podcast, particularly our market segment, wherever you get your podcast. You can just type in Protect Your Assets and look again for the market segment. It has a photograph, if you will. It's a sketch of me, and you can see that that's the one as opposed to the one with the little Sandman character, which is the full show. So again, if you missed the market segment, go check it out. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of our show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer. All
I know is that I don't know. So here's one they say. They say the safe investment option in your TSP is the G Fund. Is that really true? Well, I would say that just about every federal employee that I've met has the government securities investment, also known as the G Fund, because it just feels safe. After all, the fund is invested in short-term U.S. treasuries that are specifically issued to the TSP. So your principal and your interest payments are guaranteed by the federal government. But the stock market's been pretty volatile, hasn't it? And so is the bond fund, as a matter of fact, including shorter-term bond funds. So while it appears that the G Fund might be a safe choice this year, I would argue that it just hasn't. And unfortunately, if you put all your money into the G Fund, you're exposing it to the different risk as well, which is called inflation. And right now, with the massive amount of inflation that's out there as a result of the stimulus that was floating around all those years, you're seeing inflation above 7% even still, according to the CPI number we just saw this past week. So the question is, how long will inflation last? And what will it do to your purchasing power in retirement, specifically the G Fund, if that's where you're in? Think about it a little differently. If you have all your money in the G Fund when you retire, won't you most likely have less to pay your bills with than if you were making more money in other sectors? So you could split your money between two or more funds. There are five different choices that you have to move around in. And these other options could offer you better diversification, better growth potential, particularly since the markets right now are down across the board. And those two forces are powerful that can help combat the corrosive effect that inflation could wreak on your spending later in life. And this could also help you protect the purchasing power as you go through your retirement. And I know a lot of people talk about diversification. This is where you spread money into different sectors. And as I was saying earlier, the first time we've seen this in a very, very long time, the traditional 60-40, where you put 60% of your portfolio in equities and 40% in bonds, for the first time in quite a long time, has seen negative returns. In fact, through the third quarter of 2022, a 60-40 portfolio was down 20.8% as compared to not seeing this since 2008, when it was down around 21%, because typically bonds provide some sort of protection against downward markets when stocks are so volatile and going down. Usually bonds are a safe place to be, but not this year. This year it's been the exact opposite, while both areas have been getting pounded. So while you were trying to be diversified and have places to have your money through cyclical cycles like we've seen, you've been punished and it's been painful. But remember, over longer periods of time, equities outperform bonds. Think about having different buckets of money, and when you need to access those money to live on, how you'll sell those off. And so that might be another way that you diversify your investments and put different amounts of money into different buckets. And as you retire, you draw off of those as the time permits. This year has been tough because both your bonds and your stocks have been down. And so maybe you're wondering, well, what do I sell when both are down? That's a really good question. And that's why we recommend you get a plan and get an advisor to help you figure that out. Now, this next one is really important. You don't understand all of your withdrawal options when you leave the federal government employment. So let's walk through those. When you leave, you have four choices for how to take the money from your retirement account. You may want to write these down. You can withdraw all the money as a taxable lump sum. You could also, another option you have is you could withdraw the money in equal monthly payments based on a specific dollar amount or actuarial table. Third, you have the TSP purchase a life annuity for you. Or fourth, you work with a financial advisor to perform a rollover to a traditional IRA and or Roth IRA. So let's look at these four options. The first option will expose all of your TSP, 100% of that, to both federal and state income taxes in one tax year. That could be your worst choice, so we'll check that one off. The second option seems simple, but probably not a good idea. It's to divide the account and pay it out in equal payments. This option likely won't work as well as other retirement income options, given the fact that you might be able to make more in these last two options. So that leaves three and four. The third option, let TSP buy a life annuity for you. This option reminds me of my friend Bob. You see, Bob served in the military. Thank you for your service, Bob. Bob told me that when he was in the Navy, particularly in boot camp, they told him the exact underwear he was going to wear for the next 2 months. No choices, no argument, do as you're told. Yes, sir. If you're going to consider a life annuity for retirement income, then I'd recommend meeting with an independent financial advisor who can show you all the different colors and sizes that are currently available in a store right near you. As you've been hearing the ads we've been running, right now we have a 7-year option that is linked to the S&P 500 where your downside is protected. And right now, it has an 11%, you heard me, 11% cap and absolutely no fee. So you may want to check that one out because I haven't seen rates like this for a very, very long time. The fourth option could be your best choice if you're looking for more investment options than the five funds that are in your TSP. Literally, there are thousands of other options out there. And if you're looking for ways to pay less taxes in retirement, then really it's a no-brainer to get together with a financial advisor. It's probably not surprising to you that $100,000 went a lot farther back in 1950 than it does today. Something as simple as the price of milk, which in 1950 was, get this, 83 cents. Today, the average price per gallon in California, Sacramento specifically, is $4.62. Consider that when you have eggs and so many other things, butter, as we're going into Thanksgiving, so much higher at the grocery store. And that's why if you're retiring or in retirement, you need to do everything you can to pay less in taxes and keep more of your hard-earned money in your pocket. Think about this. When you consider your pension, your mandatory distribution from your TSP, rents you receive from your real estate, any other income you might have in retirement, like Social Security, it's quite possible that you could be paying more in taxes when you retire than you've ever paid in your entire life. That's why it's vitally important that you find out if you could be paying less taxes and hanging on to more of your savings for you and your family before December 31st is upon us. A financial stress test can help us uncover where you're not taking advantage of the things that you just can't see because you're not aware of the tax code. Listen, you can't get a second opinion from the guy who gave you the first opinion or who may give you the results next April. It's too late by then. So find out what's possible right now before it is December 31st. Right now, we are doing a Veterans Day special. This will be complimentary, but you have to give us a call right now, 866-PROTECT, to find out where your holes are, where your tax advantages could be. 866-PROTECT right now and find out how to pay less taxes starting next year. Pick up the phone and talk to a member of my team. Phil, Cam are sitting there. Give them a call, 866-776-8328, and find out how to keep more of what's rightfully yours. Coming up next, know what a TSP 3 is? We'll find out and see how filling this form out incorrectly could change all your plans forever. I saved the best one for last. Stick around.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. We're celebrating Veterans Day, which was yesterday. So again, thank you to all the service people out there for your service. We greatly appreciate it. And if you know someone who is in the federal government serving or even works for the federal government, they most likely have something called a thrift savings plan as a way to save for retirement. So today we've been talking all about the thrift savings plan and some of the biggest mistakes I see people make when it comes to those plans all the time. So we have been talking about the thrift savings plan, also known as the TSP. And this next one is perhaps one of the most damaging ones that I've ever seen. And it's called the TSP 3. Do you know what that is? Well, it happens to be a form. It's called the TSP 3. And if you have a TSP, you have the ability to do this. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, make sure you get your hands on this form as soon as you can. Because if you fill this one out incorrectly, all your hopes, your dreams, and your hard work could literally be slashed away. What am I talking about? Well, let's talk about a case that we came across. We'll call him Fred. Fred was a veteran who served in Vietnam, and he was married to Lois for 45 years. Lois was his sweetheart, and unfortunately, she developed cancer and passed away while they were married, leaving Fred and his daughter, Jamie, to carry on. Well, a few years later, Fred remarried, and he married a new wife. And he and the new wife were together for a couple years, and then Fred passed away all of a sudden. So Fred's new wife, her name was Wanda, and Wanda ended up getting all of his TSP plan, all of it, 100%. Now, the problem here was Fred wanted Jamie to get that, and Jamie thought that she was going to get it. In fact, they had conversations, the three of them together, about how Jamie was supposed to receive these funds, since they viewed it as money that he and Lois had accumulated together all those years. And Jamie, being their offspring and child, was fully entitled to get all of that money, since, again, she was their child for so many, many years. And even though Wanda was a nice person, she came along there at the very, very end. Because of the TSP-3 form, that's why this happened. So the TSP-3 said that the spouse, in this case Lois, was supposed to get the money, but because she passed first and because the form was filled out incorrectly, the statute said it went to Fred's wife, his spouse, who at that time was Wanda, plain and simple. And so even though Fred wanted the money to go to his daughter, even though Wanda heard Fred tell Jamie that in front of Wanda, that didn't matter. Did not matter. Because the form was filled out incorrectly, his wishes were entirely thwarted. And you know what happened. Wanda got the money. Now, I know fair, what's right, has nothing to do with it. It's the law. And if you don't like it, well then, do something about it. Call 866-PROTECT right now and have us help you fill out your TSP-3 form. Because in my office, we do have attorneys who look at these things every day. In fact, we're very familiar with the aid and attendant benefit that's available to all veterans out there. And when it comes to these sort of things, filling these forms out correctly, I would recommend that you have an attorney help you do that. Now, I know a lot of people mean well and they have lots of experience and they sound like they know what they're talking about. But unfortunately, this case of Fred and Lois, who again had been together 45 years, had been through quite a lot together, did not have their dreams come true. And that's just the way it was. So if you don't want to be like Fred or Wanda, then again, pick up the phone right now. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Or you can always connect with us at our website, which is libertygroupllc.com. Again, libertygroupllc.com. Because our specialty at the Liberty Group is helping clients plan for retirement. And you can say that over the last 30 years, we've learned a thing or two about how to help you plan for a successful retirement. If you're worried about running out of money, if you're worried about inflation, heck, if you're worried about how you're going to pay for all that butter in the next week when Thanksgiving's here, because I know the price of butter has gone up like 40-something percent. Well, give us a call right now and have us help you figure that out. 866-PROTECT. Again, the number to call to have your complimentary review, 866-776-8328. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a pretty good show this morning, wouldn't you say? My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers back there answering the phone, Phil, Adrian, and Cam, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.